The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
If you're someone who lives in an area where it's so expensive to buy real estate and you feel like it's impossible, then I have something for you. I just released a free guide that's going to give you the 8 steps you need to take to buy your first out-of-state property. I've bought several properties out of state, living in California, investing in Ohio, and you can do the same. It's just a matter of having the right information. So click the link in the description of this episode to get your free guide today.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Investor Spotlight, and it's featuring episode 150, where our host is going to unpack the top real estate markets of 2023. It's a really cool list. So without any further ado, this is going to tell you what are the hottest real estate markets of this year. Let's get into it. Here we go from the Black Real Estate Dialogue, episode 150. Let's go.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast, episode 150, the last episode of 2022. Before we get into this episode, if you're listening on audio, please make sure you subscribe. Make sure you leave us a 5-star rating and review. If you do leave a 5-star rating and review, it takes you less than 30 seconds. And it also helps us go up in the rankings. It helps us to reach more people. And if you do all those things, send me an email. My email is in the show notes. I will send you a free training on finding and analyzing properties. If you're watching on YouTube, simply like, subscribe, leave a comment, and then send me an email and I'll send you the same training so you can go ahead and get started. All right. Very, very excited for this episode. In this episode, I'm going to talk about the top 10 real estate markets for 2023, according to a report from the National Association of Realtors. They published a report talking about what they believe are the top 10 real estate markets for 2023. One thing off the bat is that these markets are all in the South, which I think is very interesting. So the way we'll do this episode is I will walk through the criteria that they use to make these rankings. And then I'm also going to go city by city. And we're going to talk about some of the factors that they chose for those particular cities of why they are some of the top 10 markets. So I dug into this report. It was originally an article. I posted the headline on Instagram and talked a little bit about it on Instagram. I actually had an opportunity to really dig into the data, really dig into the report. I nerd out on this stuff, but it's very important to make sure that you're up to date on the trends and you know what's going on, because that can inform where you invest and what you decide to do in your investing career. All right, so let's jump right into it. So the factors, they use 10 different factors to determine which cities will make the top 10, make this top 10 list. So the first is better housing affordability than the national level. The second criteria is more renters who can afford to buy the median priced home than the national level. And median, people tend to confuse median with mean, which is the average. The median is simply the middle number in a data set. So if you have numbers, let's say number 1 through 11, the middle number in that set is the median price, okay? And then the third is stronger job growth than the national level. The fourth is faster growth of information industry jobs than at the national level. And information industry jobs, I found in this report, are some of the most well-paid jobs. They make about 50% more than the average employee. And so, you know, based on their criteria, if a city has fast growth in information industry jobs, it's a good sign. And some examples of that, I did some research, are jobs within the IT technology field, things like that. The next is if the information industry is growing as a higher share of the gross domestic product within that city. The sixth is an increase in migration. So the rate at which people are moving to that particular city. The share of workers teleworking, so working remotely, working from home. A lot of people, depending on their jobs, are able to move to cheaper areas outside of those main coastal cities and make their salary and telework. And the last three, so a faster growing population than the national average, faster growth of active inventory than the national average. So the faster growth of homes available for sale than the national average. And then lastly, a smaller housing shortage than the national level. All right. So that's the criteria, just to set the stage a little bit. And then up next, I'm going to get into the actual cities individually. So I'll go city by city and I'll talk about some of the highlights from the report. And at the end, I'm going to talk about why these are some of the factors that you should consider when you're investing, all right? Okay, so Atlanta was number one. More than 20% of renters in Atlanta are able to afford a typical home in the area. The second reason that Atlanta is number one is because major tech companies are going from the West Coast and opening offices in Atlanta. So some of those companies are Apple, some of those companies, Microsoft and Visa. And so before we go any further, when you're looking into a real estate market, you want to make sure you're investing somewhere where there's actually growth. You want to make sure you're investing somewhere where jobs are going to, where there's a diversity of industry, right? You don't want to go somewhere that's just based upon one employer, because if that employer leaves, your investment is in jeopardy. So just a quick nugget right there. All right. The second city is Raleigh, North Carolina. So this city has been recognized as one of the fastest growing tech hubs in the country. Me personally, I never associated Raleigh, North Carolina with tech. So I think that's really cool that it's becoming a fast growing tech hub. I think these companies are thinking about cheaper investments and where they can buy property or lease space for cheap. And it seems that a lot are leaving those expensive coastal markets and going to places that are a little bit more affordable. And as far as affordability, so 20% of the renters can afford to buy a typical home in Raleigh. The next is Dallas-Fort Worth out in Texas. And so a lot of new startups, according to the report, are moving to this area. And it's also an emerging tech hub in the US. So it's so interesting because tech is something that has been a theme so far. And it's very, very interesting how the tech industry is starting to spread out a little bit throughout the country. And I have a feeling we'll continue to see that as we talk through each city. Up next is Fayetteville, Arkansas. So one in three renters can afford to buy a median price home in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So that's about 33% of people who can afford to buy a median priced home. And again, within the past year, jobs in the information age rose in the information industry rose twice as fast as nationwide. So in this one city, the rate at which information industry jobs rose was twice as fast as anywhere else, which I think is incredible. Fayetteville, Arkansas. And again, you know, I think these companies have research teams and they're analyzing their expenses and probably finding that it's not worth it to remain in those expensive cities, in your LAs, in your San Franciscos, in your New York cities, and they're going to places like Arkansas. And so, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence. It's certainly a financial reason. All right. Up next, Greenville, South Carolina. So in Greenville, South Carolina, this is one interesting fact that I definitely wanted to share from what I read. And so every four new jobs that open in the area, a single family permit was issued. Permitting is part of the early stages in the process of being able to develop a property. So basically builders receive permission to get started with the process of building a single family home, and that pace aligned with every four jobs. So what does that mean? The city understands there's more jobs coming, so we need to build more. We need to build more houses so people can live in. I think that is amazing. And as an investor, from an investor standpoint, this is data that you want to know. You want to know, you know, is there more building? Is there more development in this particular city? And are there more jobs coming? If you have both, I think it's a perfect storm and a great opportunity that you may want to, that you may want to look into a little bit further. So Greenville, South Carolina was never on my radar, as well as Fayetteville, Arkansas, but now they are, because there's jobs going there, there's industry going there, and there's well-paying jobs going there. So that's really good too. So the next one, still in South Carolina. So Charleston, South Carolina, the one thing that stood out from the report is that there's a fast growing job market in Charleston and there's a lot of migration. Again, if you're looking to invest long distance, or if you're looking to move somewhere and establish roots and start your investing portfolio there, these are things you want to keep into consideration. So is the population growing? Is the job market stable or growing? Very, very important. And clearly in Charleston, some of those things are taking place. All right, Huntsville, Alabama. So this was rated as the most affordable among the 10 areas. And here's the reason why. And I think this is a very interesting data point. The typical family earns 20% more than the qualifying income to purchase a mid-priced home. The typical family earns 20% more than the qualifying income to purchase a mid-priced home. So the qualifying income to purchase a mid-priced home is $80,300 in Huntsville, Alabama, and the typical family earns 20% more than that. There's also a lot of job opportunities, and the lower cost of living is attracting even more people to move there. So I think that is incredible and a very, very interesting data point that the typical family is exceeding quite comfortably the qualifying income to purchase a mid-priced home. All right, going down to Florida. So Jacksonville is actually the most affordable metro area in Florida, and the qualifying income to purchase a median-priced home is about $98,000, and it exceeds $100,000 in all of the other metro areas across the state. So for example, in Miami, the qualifying income to purchase a median-priced home is $140,000, whereas in Jacksonville, it's only $98,000. And I know earlier we mentioned single family permits being issued per a certain number of jobs. So in Jacksonville, a single family permit is issued for every two jobs. So previously we mentioned it was for every four jobs in Greenville, South Carolina, but in Jacksonville, the pace is even quicker. So what does that mean? The city understands, in my opinion, that more jobs are coming, so we need to allow builders to build. So there's places for these people who are migrating to live. So we have two more. So up next is San Antonio, Texas. San Antonio is more affordable than the other areas in the state. As an example, the qualifying income for a median priced home in San Antonio is about $85,000. In Austin, it's $130,000. And the interesting thing as well about San Antonio is that there's also a growing influx of tech workers. I just find it so interesting that a lot of these tech companies are moving to the south from the coastal cities. And it makes a lot of sense to me because it's cheaper. It's cheaper to run your business. There's probably greater tax incentives, cheaper to build out your space and things of that nature. So I'm very interested to watch that trend and how that continues to develop. All right, up next, last but not least, Knoxville, Tennessee. So Knoxville, Tennessee, fast-growing job market. And interestingly, a lot of people are moving there from California. And The other interesting data point that I saw is that the housing is about 10% more affordable than the national level. And one in four renters can afford to buy a typical home. So 25% of people who rent can afford to buy your average home in Knoxville, Tennessee. So I think that's very, very interesting. And a couple of remarks that I have based on this data, like one, I definitely encourage you to check out the National Association of Realtors. I'm going to link this article in the description, in the show notes, so you'll be able to check out the entire report. I think it's super interesting. And it's important to keep on top of the trends. You know, you should never be an ignorant investor. You should always stay up to date on the trends. You should always know what's going on, right? The data is going to help you make good investment decisions. And whether you want to invest locally, whether you want to invest long distance, you need to know what's happening in the market. You shouldn't just invest anywhere. And, you know, it's smart to invest somewhere that's progressing. It's smart to invest somewhere where people are moving. It's smart to invest somewhere where jobs are moving. And so, you know, that could be part of your criteria that you set when you consider where you want to invest or even where you want to move. And it's, again, I can't emphasize this enough. It's incredibly important to educate yourself and make sure you're studying the trends at all times. You got to be nimble. You may come to a point where the current market you invest in does not work based on your criteria, that perhaps the local economy, the job market is not heading in a direction that's profitable for you. And so it's always important to understand the trends at a high level, at a macro level, and at a micro level, because it'll help you to make good decisions. All right. So that is a wrap for 2022. Can't thank you all enough for your support. It truly means a whole lot. I'm going to kick off the new year with an episode about the 2022 year in review. It was an incredible year for Black Real Estate Dialogue. We just had an amazing guest, amazing events, and hit a whole lot of milestones, but it would not be possible without all of you supporting, without all of you listening, sharing, subscribing, commenting week in and week out. So I'm looking forward to a great 2023. Wishing you all a great holiday. If you're able to take some time off, I hope you have a great vacation, and we'll get to it in 2023. So thank you all so much. I look forward to hearing from y'all soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.